This is Mark Langdon's Bets Club, sponsored by CopyBet.
Hello and all welcome to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. We proudly welcome CopyBet to the show. They'll be partnering up with us for the foreseeable future. More info on them in the description below, plus a few fun offers that you can get yourselves involved with. Mark, how's things?
Really good. Thanks, Jack. A solid midweek of Premier League action. We were speaking before Thursday's games, aren't we? But you always like it when there's a midweek round of Premier League. So, yeah, all good.
It's fun, isn't it, as well, when they're kind of staggered kickoff. So you've just got, it feels like you've got an even longer evening of football.
Yeah, I mean, I think they should probably do it even more than they do. You know, I've seen it with Amazon. They really stagger it, don't they? And they've got it down to a T. But yeah, I was watching, Leicester v Leeds was my main game on Tuesday. But then dipping in and out of Forest v Brighton. And then on Wednesday, obviously had the City game on. And then what else was I doing? I can't even remember now. It's probably West Ham v Liverpool. And so no, it's Forest Brighton on the Wednesday. On the Tuesday, I think I was watching Wolves against Crystal Palace for some reason. But they just merge into one, don't they? It's always prefer it though when there's a midweek round of football.
So are you saying you picked Forest Brighton over City Arsenal?
No, because there was a kickoff differential, wasn't there? So I was dipping in and out of both games. No, City Arsenal was the one that had to be watched. And I suppose it was a bit of a letdown, really, in terms of the hype, wasn't it? In the fact that it was a title decider and, you know, all of this kind of pre-game chat. I thought Man City were brilliant. And people can knock Arsenal and mock Arsenal, and they have done. I think I prefer to just focus on how good City were. They really, like, they're light years away from what they were serving up in the first half of the season, aren't they?
The thing I really loved about that City performance, Mark, was that the roles were almost reversed between De Bruyne and Haaland, weren't they? It was kind of Haaland playing the provider and De Bruyne, you know, going forwards. I mean, that first goal, the bring down from Haaland and the finish from De Bruyne, just absolutely superb. And you're right, you did feel as if City could manage to get their noses in front early, you know, they could run away with it. And actually, I thought the scoreline flattered Arsenal somewhat. I mean, Haaland could have quite easily had four of his own. I think many were expecting it, but City very much with the control of the title race now.
Yeah, absolutely. Long odds on to win the Premier League. I think what I liked about the performance might well have been Haaland's best performance in a City shirt. And until that sort of last minute, he'd actually sort of flopped in the sort of, you know, what he'd done so well previously. Like, Arsenal just couldn't handle the fact that, you know, when City went longer than they normally do, just bypassed the press. He was just too much for particularly Holding, but also Gabriel. And they're very, very narrow, Manchester City. They're absolutely dominated in that sort of central area. Gundogan and Rodri. Rodri's massively underrated, by the way. You've seen like combined teams for City and Arsenal, and the amount that didn't have Rodri in central midfield, quite bizarre. They really kind of dominated that area. De Bruyne, as you say, was playing high up as well. You know, Grealish didn't impact the game massively in terms of a sort of forward runs. But I was impressed with him off the ball.
From a needle standpoint, it seemed like every kind of situation was revolving around him.
He was, yeah. And his work off the ball was really good. Akanji at left back was excellent. Walker looked after Martinelli. Yeah, it was almost a complete performance from Manchester City. And, you know, Arsenal, probably that game against Southampton was the killer one for them. I know people had focused on Liverpool and then West Ham. That was the one we were texting, weren't we, on Friday night. It felt like a really big blow to not win that game. And then you go into City on the back of that. You know, very difficult.
Absolutely. Let's take a quick look at the other end of the table where there were some big results as well. And I think we have to focus first of all, on Forest's win against Brighton. Maybe a bit of a hangover from the cup for Brighton, but Forest putting it up, and it means that they've leapt out of the bottom three, at least at time of recording. I know Everton still need to play. Southampton playing as well. Yeah, they're at home to Bournemouth, aren't they? So some big games on Thursday evening. But that result, not many probably would have predicted, and it's thrown everything up in the air.
Yeah, and I said to you, I was sort of dipping in and out of this game, Jack. Whenever I dipped in, Brighton were all over Nottingham Forest. They 17 shots to 12, 7 on target to 5, 76% possession. You know, it was a massive victory for Nottingham Forest. I don't think it was necessarily deserved, but it doesn't really matter, does it? Particularly at this stage of the season, you just take it as ever you can. I suppose there were maybe sort of shoots of recovery in the fact that they only lost 3-2 at Anfield the week before, but much needed for Steve Cooper, absolutely, and really does put the pressure on, you know, the bigger teams, and I suppose more established might be better than bigger, because Forest were a big team themselves, but on the more established Premier League teams that are down there fighting for their lives.
Yeah, Leeds will have probably seen that Leicester game was a missed opportunity, particularly with the miss from Bamford late on. Could they come to regret that one?
Yeah, I thought he might have been flagged offside, actually, though, had it gone in. I thought that Leeds were really bad in this game and that Leicester absolutely deserved a point and probably could and should have won the match. I come away from that game thinking, you know, in terms of the relegation battle, despite what the league table suggests, and obviously at the moment Leicester are behind Leeds. Yeah, I'd fancy Leicester more than Leeds to get out of it. Of course, they both might go, but it, on the back of that game, I'd be sort of much more positive about Leicester's chances.
A quick word on Chelsea before we get onto your boys, Mark, just because probably the two teams can be compared for problems at the moment. Chelsea losing once again, this time at home to Brentford, and it makes Frank Lampard's recent Premier League managerial record look really quite dire.
It does. I mean, it doesn't say much for the players, does it? I mean, it doesn't matter if me or you were managing Chelsea. They should be able, you know, to win more games than they are. I mean, not scoring any goals. Their performances are basically pathetic. And yeah, you can put the boot into Lampard, and you like to, Jack. I know you do.
It's
but
huge amounts of fun.
I don't think he's a great manager. I don't think he's a good manager. But I'm not sure that, you know, I mean, they were struggling under other managers, weren't they? I've sort of seen a few people trying to make jokes saying Graham Potter's kept Chelsea up. What a job he did, because without the points he accumulated, where would they be? I mean, the team's a mess, isn't it? You know, Todd Bowley, he didn't know much about football when he bought Chelsea. Probably knows a lot more about it now and realises that just going out and buying any old random player and expecting it to work, it's just not going to happen. It's a team game. If you look at like something like baseball, although it's a team game, there are very much individual elements within a team game. You know, it's a pitcher against a hitter. You know, that is basically what it is, isn't it? And you need that team dynamic to be right, but you know, you can also do it from an individual standpoint. In football, you know, where your right back is and where your right midfielder are and where your central midfielders are, you move as a unit. You're up and down the pitch, you know, particularly the outfield players anyway, sort of those 10 players move up and down together, and it's just not as simple as just buying players. And big job. Looks like it's going to be Pochettino. I'd say I wish him well. I don't, as a Spurs fan. It's going to be quite hard to see him in the Chelsea dugout. But they certainly need sorting out in the summer. That's, you know, undeniable.
Now, in this top section of the show, you put in Stellini sacked by Spurs as last, probably hoping that we'd maybe run out of time so we didn't have to speak about them. But what is going on with Spurs, Mark? My goodness.
Yeah, so obviously we are speaking before Ryan Mason makes his debut in the dugout against Manchester United on Thursday. But yeah, Stellini, I called him the Conte cone collector before. You know, four matches, all of them dire. 10-man Everton 1-1, wasn't it? You know, the loss to Bournemouth, the humiliation at Newcastle. I was sort of laughing as the goals were going in. It was so surreal. It didn't impact me as much as, say, you know, the Leicester defeat, from a few weeks earlier. And even when they beat Brighton, they didn't deserve to beat Brighton. They were outplayed for most of that game. I mean, it was
I can hear it in your voice, Mark. I feel like you've almost reached the kind of apathy stage.
It's the worst stage to be, isn't it, as a football fan, when you don't care. and it's got to that stage now with Tottenham where, absolutely hated them when Christian Gross and George Graham were making a mess of things in the 90s. Loved them under Poch. And even Martin Jol and Harry Redknapp, really enjoyed those games. Now it's just, couldn't care less, really. Desperate for the season to end. And, hopefully brighter things on the way next season. But Daniel Levy's got to take a lot of responsibility, for a whole host of things. And at the moment, they've got no manager. They've got no sporting director. The women's team haven't got a manager. I saw that the academy, and sort of the older academy age, are having a terrible season. A lot of things not right there at the moment, unfortunately.
Other than that, all good. We'll be getting on to Spurs later on the show. I assume you're watching like I'm a Celebrity or something tonight then, are you?
I will watch the Tottenham game. Even when it was 5-0 against Newcastle, I carried on watching it because I stopped watching it for about 5 minutes, and then my daughter, I did the washing up. My daughter came out to the kitchen and said, "Do you know Tottenham are losing 5-0? I said, "Yes, I do. Thank you." And then I went back and I watched the second half because that's just what you do, isn't it?
Were you honestly that polite in your reply to your daughter?
I was, yeah, because, she's a little sweetie. Had it been my son, I probably would have treated him differently.
Right, there we go. That's our kind of review of the midweek. Let's get on to our match of the day.
Bet £10 and get £40 in free bets with CopyBet, a sports book like no other, where you can copy bets from the top tipsters. Head over to copybet.com/promo/free-bet to claim. New customers only. Free bets are available only to UK residents over 18 years old. Terms apply. Please gamble responsibly. BeGambleAware.org.
Okay, let's take a look at Sunday, 2:00, Fulham against Manchester City, 7-1 Fulham, 31-100 Manchester City, 21-5 the draw, as I say, 2:00 on Sunday. Manchester City, Mark, we spoke about them at the top of the show, just look, they're free-flowing best. Do you expect that to continue here?
I do. It is interesting, isn't it, that we're almost sort of giving them the title when they're not actually top. They've obviously got the two games in hand. They can go top on Sunday. I think that's why it's a big game, that opportunity to back up what they did against Arsenal. They hit the summit when they beat Arsenal last time. And then, do you remember what happened next game? Drew against Nottingham Forest. So I think Pep Guardiola will be guarding against any kind of relaxation from his team. They've obviously got a lot of matches at the moment. They'll be playing again the following midweek against West Ham. So I think that is the biggest, probably, hurdle that City need to overcome. The fact that they've just got game after game after game, and every single one of them is important. But this should be an away win, I think.
That is the concern for City, isn't it? I think Grealish joked about it in his post-match interview, saying sort of he's just looking forward to seeing when their next day off will be. That will be in the back of players' minds, won't it?
Oh, of course, yeah. But when you've got a squad like Man City have got, it sure helps, doesn't it? You can bring Julian Alvarez, you can bring on Mahrez, who gets a hat-trick in the FA Cup semi-final, then doesn't play the next game. Phil Foden trotted on to replace Jack Grealish. I mean, at this stage of the season, I'm not sure if you do feel that tiredness. And I would say this, that I think Pep Guardiola's rotation in the first part of the season has put them absolutely spot on. Kevin De Bruyne is playing his best football of the season. Doesn't look like he had a World Cup in the middle. And that, I was having a pop at City earlier on in the campaign, so I didn't think they were playing well, and I couldn't understand why Pep kept messing around with the team. I think this is the reason he did it. He wanted them fit, for the business end. The treble, roundabout even money now. I'm looking at it thinking, well, I mean, it's what it's on, isn't it? I mean, I fancy them in all three competitions.
Absolutely. In terms of Fulham, it's always an intriguing one this time of the kind of season when you've got teams with little to play for. They're not going European hunting. They're not going down. How do you treat teams that, you know, arguably little on the line for?
Yeah, I prefer them when they're playing at home. I think it's harder to jack it in at home than it is away from home. I mean, against Aston Villa on Tuesday, they lost a shot count 14-1. They had no shots on target. I mean, that doesn't suggest they were desperately trying to win the game, does it? So, at home, though, I do think that you've got to be more respectful of them. I mean, they were playing a Leeds team last week that had everything on the line and they had nothing and they still beat them comfortably. It's just this one thing beating Leeds and another beating Man City. I think they'll be up for it and sort of in racing parlance, I think they'll be off. I don't see them chucking the towel in. It's just a quality differential that is likely to be the problem.
With that being said, what's the best bet for this one?
Yeah, I'm going to play the, it's odds on, but Man City to win and under 4.5 goals. Man City, 8 wins and a draw away to teams outside the top 7. Of course, that draw was against Forest. The only time there was more than 4.5 goals in those wins was Bournemouth and Southampton. Fulham are better than both of those. They don't tend to get thumped too often, but they have lost 6 in a row against the top 4.
Okay, let's have a look at the rest of the Premier League games then. Just the 3 on Saturday, and we'll start with Palace against West Ham, Mark.
Yeah, do we have to? I mean, this feels like a... I'm sure BT will be doing everything they can to jazz it up, but I think West Ham are safe. Now, I too many teams between them should have enough points.
Quite good against Liverpool.
Yeah, but I'm going to go for Palace draw no bet in this game. Extra day of rest, I think that should be an advantage. I think West Ham will be focusing to the Europa Conference. I thought the Crystal Palace should have been favourites at home for this game. I'm not expecting a classic. The total XG for Crystal Palace and their opponents in the last 3 games has been under 5. So, don't expect many goals.
Okay, let's take a look at the 2 3 o'clock games on the Saturday. We'll start with Brentford against Forest. It was a big win in the week for Forest, Mark, and they'll be hoping to maybe get something from this.
Yeah, but you could say it was an even bigger win for Brentford. You know, going to Stamford Bridge,
huge,
doing the more illustrious sort of neighbours. I think that both teams will sort of, Brentford are clearly still up for it. Nottingham Forest, for obvious reasons, need the points. I was looking at under 2.5 goals. It's happened in 11 of Brentford's last 15. I do think that Forest are, I know their games have been quite high at scoring, that 3-2 with Liverpool and the 3-1 against Brighton, but I've got them down as quite a negative team, and I can see them going, I was going to say Griffin Park, I can see them going to Brentford and sort of trying to nick a point. Whether they're good enough, I'm not sure. But yeah, the unders was the play for me.
Oh, I miss Griffin Park. What a stadium that was.
Yeah, well, the old pub on every corner, wasn't it? Was the didn't always get a great view. Although I once got spotted there, sitting next to Eddie Howe.
Really?
I think he must have been watching. Well, I know he was watching Chris Meppham, and then he bought him for Bournemouth. I was sat next to him, and Brentford fan sort of took a picture of Eddie Howe and sort of put it out on Twitter of like, I've spotted Eddie Howe. And then somebody was like, somebody I know, may well have been Ali Maxwell from Not the Top 20 pod, sort of added me in it. And they're sort of, I mean, I'm on my phone sort of between Howe and Jason Tindall, yeah.
Wow, what a day. Maybe they thought you were his assistant, or maybe even the other way round.
Like I said, I do know somebody that was sort of part of their transfer committee, so I do know it was Meppham they were looking at. They bought him, didn't they? And probably hasn't lived up to the value, I wouldn't have thought. They paid quite a lot of money for him.
There we go. Maybe should have had a word with you. Let's take a look at Brighton against Wolves then. It was a shame for Brighton in that semi-final, Mark, because I thought they put up a good fight. Just fell short in the penalty shootout. It felt like there was somewhat of a hangover in midweek. Can they bounce back here?
Yeah. Well, they can. They definitely can. But they're like 1-2 to beat Wolves. And it just... I just can't back Brighton at that price. I mean, they're a very good side. Their shot stats are high. There's a lot of quality there. I'm not sort of having a pop at Brighton, really. Just the odds just make me...
It's gone a bit too far, in your opinion.
Yeah, so I'm going to go for Wolves plus one on the Asian handicap. They've not been as good away from home as what they have at Molineux. That is true. But they have only conceded 3 goals in their last 5 games. So even if they do get beat, I think it's unlikely that they're going to get tonked.
Okay, let's take a look at Sunday's fixtures then. We've already taken a look at Fulham against Manchester City. Let's start with a real big one down at the bottom. Bournemouth against Leeds. Who's going to come out on top here?
Going to go for Bournemouth. I mean, they had a real shocker against West Ham, but had otherwise been on an upwards trajectory. We keep saying this, but we are speaking before their game on Thursday. I mean, Leeds as favourites. Just do not like Leeds as favourites to win this game. They look lost when they played Leicester. I wasn't sure what they were trying to do, at least under Marsh and Bielsa. And you can argue about, you know, whether you agreed with the tactics of either manager. At least you knew what they were trying to do. I don't see a philosophy or process anymore. Only in sort of their last 9 games, they've lost on the XG on 8 of those occasions. The only time they've been better was against Forest, who we know are bad travellers. So Leeds as favourites, not for me.
So you're really fearful for Leeds for the rest of this campaign then?
I am, yeah. Yeah, I don't know, you might ask me who's going to get relegated. I think if I was sort of picking somebody out at the moment, I think it would be Leeds.
Concerning times for Leeds fans. Let's take a look at Manchester United against Villa. Speaking before United's game against Spurs in the week, Villa going so well. It's lovely to see Emery getting the best out of Buendia as well. They just look really solid in every department, Mark.
They do, yeah. I mean, 2 days extra rest, 8 wins and 2 draws from the last 10. I'm going to go for Villa or draw, double chance. I mean, Man United, prior to the trip to Tottenham, only won one of their last 4 games. That was against Nottingham Forest. So, obviously had injury problems in defence, and Villa are bang up for it at the moment. They want this European spot. They're going all out for it, and looks like they might get it.
Yeah, fair play to Villa. Let's take a look at Newcastle against Southampton. Just on Newcastle's thrashing of Spurs, Mark, sorry to bring it up again. Was it Newcastle being excellent or Spurs being really poor?
I think it was Tottenham being terrible. You still got to be able to beat them, I suppose. But I wouldn't read too much into that performance. You know, they were up against soft opponents that, let's not forget, had conceded 3 against Bournemouth and might have conceded 3 or 4 at home to Brighton. So, and then were playing this really weird formation of a back 4 with midfielders in the back 4, it was an absolute mess. But you still got to beat them. Newcastle were aggressive, did just that. And I'm going to go for Newcastle to win this game and over 2.5 goals. I can just see them sort of carrying on at St James's Park, at least, really being aggressive in their attack. What you would say about Southampton is they scored 3 against Tottenham. They scored 3 against Arsenal. And I think that they've got to play on the front foot. They need wins. Draws are of little use to them. So that should play into Newcastle's hands as well.
Yeah, it's a big game for Southampton Thursday evening as well against Bournemouth, obviously speaking before that one. Some really big games on Sunday. Spurs against Liverpool. Liverpool, the home side in this one, 4:30. Liverpool just starting to find a little bit of form, Mark.
They are. As you mentioned, maybe West Ham were a touch unlucky in that in that game in midweek. I mean, you're saying in form. I mean, they've beaten Nottingham Forest 3-2. That should be easier than that. So I still think that there are probably issues defensively.
I think it will be pleasing Klopp that, you know, Jota's finding the score sheet, Gakpo's getting more involved. Like that front three is starting to look slightly more cohesive.
Yeah, they're quality going forward. I've got no problems with them going forward, and I think this game comes absolutely perfect time for them, going for Liverpool to be leading at half time and full time. So Liverpool on the double result. They've scored 18 goals in their last 6 home games, which does play into what you were saying about the attack firing on all cylinders. Don't think that Tottenham defence will be able to cope.
Monday night football, 8 o'clock, Leicester, Everton. I think it's probably an apt time to pull out the cliche of this being a six-pointer.
Oh, well, this is big. I'm looking forward to this one on Monday night. And not only because it's such a big game, I fancy Leicester. We'll get to the best bets later, but do fancy Leicester to win. They played well at Leeds, and in their last three games, their expected goals, 6.8. Very impressive that, they are starting to click in the attacking sense. Everton have scored only 24 goals this season, leading in, before Thursday's match. That is a problem, when you're fighting against relegation, so have only scored 24 goals. And Leicester, I like the way that Maddison was linking up with Jamie Vardy. And, Dean Smith, I know things went pear-shaped for him at Norwich, but he looks like, whether it's down to him or whether the players have just realised that, we need to start winning, or whether it's just a different voice from Brendan Rodgers, I've liked what I've seen from Leicester and I'm going to stick with them.
Yeah, I don't mind what Dean Smith's about. I think that the thing you're going to get from him is he'll firm you up at the back, and then Leicester have undoubted quality going forward. So I think he'll do enough to keep them up. If you weren't already bored of Premier League football, there's more on Tuesday. This should be a good one. Arsenal against Chelsea. I don't think this one's on telly, is it, Mark?
I think it is. It's been moved from the weekend to Tuesday. No idea why, but it is on Sky, yeah. I'm going to go for Arsenal to win. I know that they're on a bit of a rocky run at the moment, but nothing compared to Chelsea. Two draws and 6 defeats in the last 8. And the most shambolic stat of all, 1 goal in the last 7 games. So if Arsenal's defence, which is not performing as well as what it was earlier on in the season, this should be one where they're not overly tested. So yeah, Arsenal to win.
The really exciting thing about Bets Club at the moment with Copybet on board is they're enhancing Mark's treble. So let's get that for this week now, Mark.
Yeah, the treble. We've spoken about treble a few times, haven't we? With Man City going for a treble, and reminds me of that Manchester United song that they've got. Have you ever won the treble like Gary and Phil Neville? Might have to change, mightn't it, if Man City do the business. But yeah, the treble for this weekend, starting off in League Two, Gillingham to beat Newport. The heavy January investment is paid off. They've left their relegation worries way behind them, the Jewels. They can finish their home campaign with a win. 1-5 of their last 10, also gained creditable draws against Stockport and Bradford. I think they might be a team to follow next season. Monaco to beat Montpellier. They were beaten Monaco 3-0 by Lens last week, but should bounce back against Montpellier. They've scored 7 goals in their last 2 home games. And we're going to round it off by going for Liverpool to beat Tottenham. I don't think a change of interim manager is going to bring about a change in Tottenham's fortunes.
Do you think Monaco and Gillingham have ever been used in the same sentence before?
Only maybe in a where would you really like to go for a weekend and where would you really not like to potentially. I can say that having been to Priestfield many times, it's not the greatest place to watch your football.
There we go. That's Mark's treble for this week. It's been enhanced to 9-2 over on Copybet. We'll link it in the description if you prefer. Simply head over to their website and click on the Daily Acker section. Next up, Dan Childs with his EFL Best Bets. Always a delight to welcome Dan Childs to Mark Langdon's Bet Club. Lots of EFL action going on this week. Just 2 games left for most teams. It's all hotting up. Playoffs just around the corner. A really exciting time in the season. Dan, 3 tips this week. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, I'm going to start off in League Two. It's a game between Gillingham and Newport. I mean, this is a game that isn't going to affect promotion or relegation, but I mean Gillingham, who is the tip here to win the game. I mean their efforts to get safe since the turn of the year have been amazing. Really, they're in a lot of trouble, invested a lot of money, and mainly due to their home form, they've managed to get safe with a few games to spare. I mean they've taken 28 points from 11 home games this year, which is an unbelievable achievement, really. I mean, and you can I can't see them not finishing it off here against Newport. You look at who Neil Harris has brought in, some of the players, Ollie Hawkins and Tom Nichols up front. They forged a good partnership. They're looking nice and solid at the back as well. Good spine to the team. They've got quite an uncomplicated direct style of football, but it's getting results for them. And last weekend, even though they're already safe, they've gone to Bradford, who are pushing promotion, and they've still got a deserved 2-2 draw. So they've still got their foot down, Gillingham. They're still trying to finish the season strong. And they've got a game at home at Newport. Newport, they're actually a place above them in the table, but done quite well underground. Coughlin, he's got them to safety as well. But they're suffering a bit of injuries at the moment. They had a six-man bench when they lost 3-2 at home to Harrogate on the Tuesday night. Lost Scott Bennett to a head injury as well just before half time. So you can imagine they're going to probably have a five-man bench for the trip to Gillingham. Not a great situation when you're going into such a tough fixture. And I'll take Gillingham to get the win.
Yeah, always an intriguing time of the season, Dan, isn't it? Some teams with plenty to play for, some with little. So always got to take that into consideration. What's the next one then?
Yeah, got a game here with a team that you could argue with something to play for, Swansea, away to Hull that have very little to play for. Now, Swansea are probably not going to make the playoffs, but if they win at Hull, they're still going to be mathematically in with a chance, you know, having completed their 45th fixture. So that's incentive enough, really, to go there and win the game, because you do never know. Football's a strange game. And Swansea, look, they've been showing plenty of motivation for quite a few weeks now. They've won six of their last seven games. I mean, as you know yourself, Jack, they had a comprehensive 3-0 win at Norwich last Saturday, playing with lots and lots of confidence. And they're looking good. I mean, if they don't go up this season, they're certainly looking good for next season. And you look at their fixture at Hull. Hull are going to want to do well in their last home game of the season. That's only natural. But they have got a lot of injuries to contend with at the moment. They sort of scraped a 1-0 win at home to Watford last weekend with a penalty. But I look at the shot count for that game. It was 10-2 in Watford's favour. And Watford have been awful in recent weeks. So that doesn't kind of really, you know, bode well really for Hull. This game against Swansea looks a lot tougher, and I'd fancy Swansea at a shade of odds against. I think that's a really good bet for them to get the points.
Yeah, Russell Martin certainly getting a tune out of Swansea at the moment. That's the second tip from Dan. What's the third and final?
The third one is a League One game that is between two teams with nothing really to play for. Wickham at home to Cheltenham. Wickham have just missed out on the playoffs. Cheltenham have recently confirmed safety. I'm going to go for Cheltenham here to avoid defeat. Cheltenham will draw a double chance at a shade of odds against. Now, after they achieved safety last weekend, they won 3-1 at home to Forest Green. They then went to Oxford on the Tuesday, Cheltenham, and lost 4-0. Now, you're looking at that and you're thinking, oh, are they on the beach now? Have they down tools? But you look at the game, and it's actually quite a close game. The shot count was 13-10. They conceded three goals in a 20-minute spell in the second half, Cheltenham. So it was a little bit of a full scoreline, if you like. And Wade Elliott, the manager there, he doesn't normally accept two bad performances in a row. They've only lost two of their last 11 games, Cheltenham. So they've been on really, really good form for a while. I think they'll actually bounce back at the weekend and play better. And the game at Wickham, I think Wickham are going to be on quite a downer. For quite a bit of the season, they looked like they were going to go quite close to getting into the playoffs. Gareth Ainsworth went, and they've sort of struggled then to keep things going since his departure. Playoff challenge was ended by a 2-0 loss at home to an injury-hit Lincoln side, who had nothing to play for last weekend. That was a big, big disappointment for them. And, you know, they're going to want to bounce back and win their last home game of the season. But I think they look opposable odds on against the Cheltenham side, who, as I say, have been in pretty good form recently. And I think they can get a result there at Wickham.
OK, just round things off. What are the three you've gone for, Dan?
Three I've gone for. Gillingham, just a straight win to win at home to Newport. Swansea to win away to Hull, and Cheltenham or draw double chance away to Wickham.
Excellent stuff. Best of luck with them, Dan.
You're welcome.
Always good to hear the thoughts of Dan Shiles. Such an exciting time in the EFL at the moment. So many possible outcomes in each and every division. Mark, let's get your best bets then for this week. We'll start with your prop shop. I wouldn't be surprised if listeners just start skipping directly to this section now, because you seem to find a winner every single week.
Well, certainly on the shots on target. I mean, they've been on target for a long time now. Unfortunately, bookmakers, because of the midweek round of games, we haven't got as many options for the for the shots on target. There is somebody I really like, but I'm going to have to keep it under my hat because it's they're playing later on in the week. So we haven't got prices yet. So I'm going to head to Craven Cottage on Sunday. Not really original, but Paulinho to be carded. I mean, he's been a very impressive player for Fulham this season, but he also is, as Danny Dyer might say, proper naughty in the tackle. And when you're playing Man City and it's all happening around you in that midfield, you've got to get physical. And I think he's a worthy favourite in this market.
A secret shot on target, but might you tease it on your Twitter or something?
Well, all I'll say is it's a Leicester. I'm looking at the Leicester players. There's a couple of all of those attacking Leicester players is where my attention will be focused on when the prices are out.
Does his name rhyme with a hotel chain?
Well, no, it would depend on the price. It all depends on the price, really. But I mean, I think Barnes, Madison, and Vardy are all interesting, but will depend on the price.
I tried, listeners, to get something out of him. Let's take a look at your long shot for this week, Mark.
Well, have you seen Exeter like 20-1 or something like crazy like that to beat Ipswich? Have you ever seen a price like that in League One before? You'd love it, wouldn't you? You would love it.
Sickening, isn't it?
No, they're brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Horrible. Especially when you're doing pathetic as well. I suspect it's been, you know, how you felt towards Arsenal this season to an extent.
Yeah, even at those like crazy prices, I just couldn't really make too much of a case for Exeter. But I am heading towards the top of League One. I'm going for Shrewsbury to beat Sheffield Wednesday. Ooh. On the basis that Wednesday, you know, if Ipswich and Plymouth are getting the job done in their two games, it's going to be a real flat spot for the Owls, who could end up not far short of 100 points and having to go in the playoffs. So, I mean, a big class differential between them and Shrewsbury, but just wondering if events elsewhere might get them distracted.
It would be, look, so many people have said, oh, Sheffield Wednesday bottled it, but I know you hate that word. But to fall short on what 96 points they could get would be a real shame for them.
For me, I mean, I back them each way to win League One. So it looks like I'm going to at least get the money back on the each way. But I mean, that was getting dicey at one stage. I couldn't believe that they might even, you know, I mean, almost bank the winnings. You know, then I was worried they might finish fourth.
Yeah, crazy. It felt like it was Plymouth might kind of start to run out of steam, but they've been superb, haven't they? Okay, one strongest bet for this week. What's the nap?
Leicester to beat Everton. At the time of speaking, Leicester have scored 20 more goals than Everton, which, you know, I think could be crucial on Monday. Madison's fit again. Vardy, probably the best I've seen him look all season against Leeds in midweek. I think bringing Soyuncu back has stiffened them, you know, up defensively as well. So, yeah, I'm going to go for Leicester to beat Everton.
You're sweet on them, aren't you? So much football to look forward to over the next few days. What's going on in the Langdon household this weekend?
Well, on Friday, Jack, I am donning the football boots.
Are you?
It's got to be the first time. It's got to be in almost 20 years, I think.
I was going to say, when was the last time you played? Because you used to be a player, didn't you?
I was okay. I could hold my own at a sort of decent enough level. Played, you know, with a few people that have gone on and had very you know, successful careers in terms of playing football at high level. So yeah, but we'll soon see if the you know, you never lose it. It is true. But yeah, I'm playing at the London Stadium in a corporate event on Friday. And having watched West Ham in some Conference League games this season, I know that however bad I am, I'm probably not even going to be the worst player that's played at the London Stadium this season, because they have beaten some right old pub teams. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I have got a slight injury, and you're probably hearing my voice. I've also got a cough. But
getting the excuses in early.
Yeah, and but I'm really looking forward to getting football boots back on, and who knows, I might even get into the Might even get into a vets team next season if I like it.
I was going to say, maybe this is what revitalises your career. Like, we might be waving goodbye to Betts Club as you sort of, you know, start your playing career again.
Well, I was. I mean, given how bad Spurs are defensively, I was wondering if I might even get a contract for next season. I can't do any worse than some of the people that have had a go at the heart of that defence. But yeah, looking forward to that. Then, you know, snooker finals on this weekend. So I'll try and watch some of that. All go this weekend.
It feels like this is one of those weeks where there's almost too much sport. It's just difficult to stay across it all.
But, you know, we'll try.
We'll find a way. There's worse things to struggle with, aren't there, in life? There we go. Thanks very much to Mark and Dan Charles, as always, for their insight. They've put up a lot of selections, as they always do. Please don't feel the need to back them all. As I mentioned at the top of the show, there's a new account offer for CopyBet. You can find that in the description below, plus all of the T's and C's. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back again next week for another episode of Mark Langdon's Bets Club.
Thank you for listening to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, sponsored by CopyBet.